Amen. You guys just tore it up today. I'm sorry. I can't stop talking about it. Man, thank you so much, all of you. We're going to go ahead and get right into the message this morning. We've been digging into the treasures of the Word of God to see what the Spirit of the Lord would be speaking to us as this new season comes upon us. We found the prophetic map in the book of Joshua and how to get from here to there, from the wilderness to the promised land, from the land of being sustained to the land of increase. And the Holy Spirit is making God's word come alive, and it's becoming a now word of insight for all of us, a prophetic word for 2020 to empower us to be everything God wants us to be, to go after our achievements, our gold, and possess the land that God has given us. And so in the story of Joshua, after much preparation, God's people had already crossed over the Jordan River into a long-awaited season. And now they've crossed over. They're on the west side of the Jordan. And from the place called Gilgal, they took their first city. And it was the first city in the promised land named Jericho. And remember, Jericho is the doorway or the entrance into the land of Canaan. They had to go through this city. And God gives them specific instruction regarding this conquest. God said, after you take the cities, the spoils belong to me. The spoils didn't belong to them. The spoils belong to God. So again, I want to remind you that Jericho was a type of the first fruits belonging to the Lord, the first fruit of their increase in the land of Canaan. Again, God was saying, the first fruit belongs to me. Don't mingle it with your stuff. So that was the message last week. And so after the conquest of Jericho, we find out in the story, there was an attempt to take another city, the second city in Canaan named Ai, but they were defeated in their efforts to conquer this city. And we found out that one of the reasons for their defeat is that there was one smart aleck soldier among the ranks who decided to secretly take some of the devoted things in Jericho, or the things that were supposed to be set apart for the Lord. And his name was Achan. Achan stole some of the spoils. And because of one man's sin, we saw last week, the entire community failed. And that was our message. The power of one. How one person could affect the many. And so the entire community tried to stand before their enemy and take a smaller city than Jericho, but they were sorely defeated. They ran from their enemy, and 36 soldiers of Israel were killed. And as we saw in the sobering story last week, God exposed Achan's sin in public. He dealt with it accordingly, and he did this in order for his people as a whole to begin to move forward again in the conquest. So because of one man's sin, everything stood still. Defeat came upon them. They could not move forward in the mission. When God exposed it and God dealt with the problem, Israel was now poised for the conquest once again. And so there's a few things that popped out to us in the story, 2020 insights, we could say. Going into 2020, we must be community-minded. It's okay to have our own vision, our own dreams, our own goals, things that we want to do as individuals. All that's great. God wants that for your life. But it's never to trump being community-minded. God wants us to have a corporate purpose, a corporate vision, and corporately go after our corporate promised land. And so our individuality or our individualism falls under the corporate structure. And that's something that we have to keep in mind going forward. The second insight in 2020 is that God is going to expose the hidden things of the heart that are hindering the corporate movement. God exposed the sin of Achan so that the community could once again move forward in the conquest. So I believe that going into this year of 2020, get ready for some exposure. Number three, we also see another insight, is that in 2020, God is coming after the troublemaker. Come on now, the troublemaker. Achan means one who causes trouble. And Joshua said, Achan, you have caused trouble in Israel. Now God is going to cause trouble for you. God's coming after the troublemaker. The fourth thing that we saw was that God is also coming after the thief, the one who robs. See, Achan robbed from God, but he also, in doing that, he robbed from the community. And it cost them dearly, so dearly they lost 36 of their soldiers in the battle, and they were defeated. So God is coming after the thief in 2020. And now we flip to a new chapter, chapter 8. After the sin of Achan was exposed and the children of Israel were ready for the conquest, God gives them another chance. He gives them another chance. He didn't write them off. He says, okay, now you can go take the city of Achan. Now you're poised for victory. Thank God he's a God of second chances. Come on now. Thank God. God has no problem in giving you a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. If you will make the shift, if you will make the adjustment, God is a merciful God. He'll have grace on you, show you mercy, and he will set you up where there was once failure to now be successful and have victory. And so he gives them another chance to go up against the city that defeated them. Come on now, we see it right here. Joshua 8, 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Take the whole army with you. Go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Except, somebody say except. See, you're going to take Ai like you took Jericho. But there is something different, except this time you can carry off their plunder. In other words, the spoils belong to you. You can keep the livestock for yourself. You can keep the silver. You can keep the gold. You can keep the spoils. Do you see what's happening? There's a shift. There's something different happening. The Lord said, you've honored me with the first fruit. You've given me what belonged to me. The rest is yours. And here it is right here in the story. You've honored me with Jericho. You can have the spoils of Ai. You can have the spoils of every other city you conquer in the land of Canaan. It's in your hands. It belongs to you. Ultimately, we know everything belongs to God. But technically, God is saying, I want you to honor me with your first. You can keep the rest. Come on now. It's right here in the story. If you read chapter 8, God gives them an incredible strategy of war to take the city of Ai. Totally different than how they took the city of Jericho. And so when I look at how different it was, I thought about something in 2020. God is wanting us to be open to receive his instructions. I believe that God wants to speak some things to us that are specific. And the problem that we all fall into is we fall into the routine that we did something this way before, it brought great success, and we try to duplicate it and do it that way every other time. And here, the fighting and the battle of Ai was totally a different strategy than how they took down the city of Jericho. And we've got to be open to hear the divine instruction. We've got to be poised to open up our ears and say, God, what is it that you want me to do differently? I'm telling you, a lot of times the success is in the specifics that God wants to speak to us. We can't just assume because we've done it this way and had success in the past, we've got to do it this way every other time we try to find success. Come on, folks, do you see it? The strategy was so different, but they took heed to what God was saying. And they took the city of Ai. Can you imagine if they tried the same strategy of walking around the city in silent confrontation? They would have been destroyed. Come on now. They followed the directives of God. So this year, we're going to be not just hearers of what God says to us, but we're going to implement it. And we're going to be doers. And we're going to be looking for success God's ways. Come on now. This is what the Lord is speaking. And so I want to continue now in the book of Joshua, because I think I see something that might be a help to us in this new season in 2020. I mean, everything so far has become a now word. God hasn't stopped yet. I believe the very next thing that happens in the narrative, there's something in there that God wants us to see that will help us to prosper and be successful and take our land in 2020. I want to remind you that Joshua is a book of warfare. It's the battle handbook. And when you read Joshua with spiritual eyes, God's word will come alive to you and teach you to follow the divine instructions, how he gave it to them. Because in principle, it all pertains to us. That's what we've been doing week after week. But there are also some things that when we open up our spiritual eyes to see how God would speak to us in the story, there are sometimes warnings. For instance, Achan was a warning to the robbers, the thieves, the dishonest ones, the hiders. Achan's a warning. It's a warning to the whole community. It's a warning to each one of us individually, the story of Achan. And so it's in the story so that God could show us something that will help us succeed in the future. And so I believe the very next thing that happens in the story is in there for a reason. When you get to chapter 9, another battle takes place, but it's not for a city. It's not for territory in the natural. It's not with sword and with spear. It was more subtle than that. It was a battle of deception. And I want to talk to you just for a few more moments about deception. And then I want to get into the story and I want to show it to you. And maybe the Lord will speak something to us to help us to be positioned for success, and maybe there's a warning in there. Let's see. When we talk about warfare, any type of warfare, whether it's spiritual warfare or warfare with natural armies, the first principle is to know your enemy. Always the first principle of warfare. What that means is we're to gather information about our enemy in order to defeat him or outsmart him or outwit him. And so when you study your enemy or you know your enemy, you learn about your enemy's nature, the ways of your enemy, the strategies of your enemy. And you do this, you know your enemy, so that your enemy will not take advantage of you, but so that you would defeat your enemy. So I want you to remember that word advantage, okay? So when you begin to study spiritual warfare in the New Testament, it's evident that the early believers, they knew their enemy. In other words, they received incredible teachings and doctrine. They received spiritual insight in who their enemy was and how their enemy operates. And you could see this insight in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Look, Paul says this to the church at Corinth, lest Satan should take advantage, there's that word, of you. For we, Paul says, are not ignorant of his devices. So Paul is basically saying, we've taught you well, you have knowledge of your enemy, you are not ignorant of the enemy's devices or his schemes or the way he operates. Paul is basically saying, reminding them, they have a very real enemy that comes against them. They're not ignorant of how the enemy operates. So again, we could see that knowledge is powerful. Paul is also denoting that when we are unlearned or have a lack of knowledge of our enemy's ways and his devices, we're all open for his attack. I mean, we're a prime candidate for the enemy's attack. So knowledge of our enemy is powerful. And he brings out two words in this little verse. The first word he uses is advantage. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of you. Now, real simple what that means in the Greek writing, this word, it means an overreach. He means that Satan wants to overreach your boundaries. He wants to overreach into your space or into your territory. It's the word overreach. He's talking about the enemy has a way of busting through your boundaries. You got to know this. I mean, you know this, but let me just say, the enemy has no boundaries. There are no boundaries. He respects nobody's boundaries. Like his job is to overreach, constantly overreach and override and penetrate through your boundary lines. And so really what Paul's saying, that he is overreaching into what is yours. Now listen, he does it for two reasons. Let me just throw this out to you. The enemy overreaches into our boundaries because he either wants to steal something from us or he wants to join himself to us. Mm-mm-mm. The enemy will overreach. He will take advantage of you, Paul said. Don't be ignorant of his devices because he wants to take advantage. He wants to overreach your boundary lines, over your boundaries, into your territory to either take something from you or join himself to you. And so the next word that he uses is devices, and I bring it out because it's important, because the word devices, we're not ignorant of his devices, basically means to think. It means a thought. It means the mind. It means to ponder. And Paul is basically saying, guys, you know this. I've taught you this. The enemy is coming after your mind. That's his greatest attack, is to come after your mind. Paul is basically saying we're not ignorant of the mind games of our enemy. And so again, they understood that Satan was a sophisticated creation. He was a sophisticated being. He wasn't some fairy tale, you know, dude in a red suit and horns, a pointy tail and a pitchfork. I mean, he was a sophisticated deceiver. He was subtle. He played mind games. He came to twist your thinking and confuse you. He's lurking in the shadows to take advantage of you. And so right off the bat, we see that Satan's tactic is a tactic of mind games, manipulation, and deception. I'm going somewhere. You just follow me. Deception. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul goes a little bit deeper and talks about the seduction and the deception of the enemy. And here's what he says. He takes us back to the Garden of Eden when the serpent beguiled Eve. Paul says this, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, so also your minds may be led astray. Now, let me just throw this out to you. Paul is talking about Satan's cunningness and craftiness bringing deception into the minds of the people at Corinth. If you look at it in context, you have to understand, Satan's not doing this apart from people. Satan is using messengers, blood and flesh messengers. He's using agents to come into the camp, to confuse, to lead astray, and to deceive the people of God. Now, he does that without people. We know that. We know the enemy comes and directly speaks to us in our mind, but he oftentimes, more often than we would like to believe, he uses people. You'll see it in the story. I'll show you. He uses people. In the text of 1st, 2nd Corinthians 11, he's using people to bring in deception and to confusion. And Paul is saying, I'm afraid how the serpent in his cunningness and craftiness deceived Eve, so also your minds will be deceived and led astray. And so if you were to look back in the Garden of Eden, you could see that the serpent used suggestions, carefully crafted arguments to try to trap Eve. He was calculating and skillful. He had a goal. He was trying to accomplish something. You see, the serpent appeared to Eve to be something that he wasn't. He appeared to come to her as one that would offer assistance to Eve. Come on now. One who would offer help to Eve. One who would give her wise counsel. One who would add value to her life. Come on now. If you read the story, the serpent appeared to be something that he wasn't. It was fake. It was a facade. This is where the deception comes in. He's basically coming to her as if he would add value to her, and even so much to free her to ascend and to break free from God's subtle control and manipulation. And I'm telling you, it's crazy. The manipulator is accusing God of being the manipulator and the control freak. The controller himself is telling Eve that the one that you're submitted to is a control freak, is a manipulator, is trying to keep you down and hold something from you. Come on now. The enemy is doing this. The enemy is twisting everything around, changing the narrative, and he's trying to get her to bite into his deception, and she does. So there's so much to that. I don't have time to get into that. But I bring it out to start this story to tell you that we can't take our land as long as we keep being duped by our enemy. Every time we are deceived, we are stopped in our tracks. It causes a hindrance to our moving. It causes confusion in our life. It will stop our achievements, our mission, our progression in 2020. It'll hold us. Deception will hold you back from your future. It'll cause all kind of confusion. I'm telling you right now, the enemy, you're not even in 2020, but there are assignments, there are plots, there are schemes, there are plans. They're already set up to meet you. They're going to meet you in 2020. Why? Because the enemy knows that we're going in charging. We're going in with an expectation. We're going in to take the land. We have trust and faith in God. We have the spirit of conquest. You better believe it. There are assignments already plotted out for you, waiting for you to get into 2020. And they are assignments to mess with your head, to play with your mind, to manipulate you and deceive you, to stop you in your forward progression. Come on, so that you would abort your mission. Trust me. And so let's look at the story. I said all that. That's my introduction, okay? Let's look at the story. Joshua chapter 9. Let's read the first few verses. This is after Jericho was taken. After Ai was taken. The very next thing that happens. It's in a sequential order for a reason. It's a now word for us. At least I believe that. Look, now all the kings west of the Jordan River heard about what happened. These kings combined their armies to fight as one against Joshua and the Israelites. But when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, look at this, they resorted to deception to save themselves or for their ultimate goal. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys with weathered saddlebags and old patched wineskins. They put on worn out patched sandals and ragged clothes. And the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant far country to ask you to make a peace treaty with us." And so the Gibeonites, it says right off the bat, in that fourth verse, the Gibeonites resorted to deception to save their own hide from being taken from the Israelites in war, being annihilated basically. You see, God told them before they entered into the promised land, don't make a treaty with anybody in this land. Make no alliances to anybody in this land. Don't make a covenant with anybody in the land of Canaan. And if you do, you will worship their idols. If you do, you will compromise your faith. If you do, it'll cause confusion in your camp. If you do, you will intermarry with them. If you do, it'll be a thorn in your flesh. If you do, it'll be to your demise. God warned them, Deuteronomy chapter 7. But here in the text, we see the art of deception. Deception is at work in God's camp. The Gibeonites deceived General Joshua by their, Paul said, their cunning. Come on now. Their craftiness, their subtlety. Same thing. They appeared to be something that they weren't, right? Just like the Garden of Eden with the serpent. They appeared to be something that they weren't. And not only that, beyond their deceptive appearance, they outright lied. They said, "We have come from a very far away, distant country, and we want to make a treaty with you." Really? Really? You see, Gibeon was only 6 miles from Ai. They were their neighbors. Gibeon was 25 miles from Gilgal. And at this time, that was their military base, Gilgal. 25 miles. They were right around the corner. And they came to Joshua and the Israelites to give this appearance that they are victims. Victims of poverty. That they're displaced and they're defenseless. And they were trying to manipulate them. They were trying, follow me, to pull. You see it here. They were pulling on their mercy strings. Pulling on their compassion. They wanted to make a treaty with them. They wanted to make an alliance with them. Here. They wanted to overreach into their territory and join themselves with the Israelites. It was all deception. They were trying to take advantage, Paul said. Advantage, overreach. They were trying through their cunningness, their manipulation, their deception. They were trying to overreach, to join themselves. Remember I said, the enemy will overreach to either steal something from you or join themselves to you. Look at verse 7 through 15. Look, come on. The Israelites replied, "How do we know you don't live nearby? Because if you do, we can't make a treaty with you." In other words, you're toast. They replied, no, no, look, come on, follow me now. Don't lose me. No, they said, we're your servants. And then Joshua said, but who are you? Where'd you come from? They answered, your servants have come from a very distant country. We've heard of the might of the Lord your God and all he did in Egypt. We have also heard what he did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River. So our elders and all our people instructed us, take supplies for the long journey. Go meet with the people of Israel and tell them, we are your servants. Please make a treaty with us. This bread was hot from the ovens when we left our home, but now you can see it. Look at it. It's dry and it's moldy. The wineskins were new when we filled them, but now they're old. And look at them. They're all split open. And our clothing and our sandals are worn out from the very long journey. You think this is in here just to be in here? This is in here for you. It's in here for me. So the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult with the Lord. Then Joshua made a peace treaty with them and guaranteed their safety. And the leaders of the community ratified their agreement with a binding oath. They're in an alliance now, an alliance they can't get out of. And Israel was deceived, makes a covenant with their enemy. Allow the Gibeonites to join themselves to them, not really fully knowing what was going on. And so let's consider this for a moment. Could there be something in here for me? Could there be something in here that you can consider for 2020? I think that this is prophetic. I believe that there is a danger in 2020 of being deceived. Come on now. By those who have wrong motives, by those who want to join themselves to you, but it's with an ulterior motive. It's not what they say they want. It's what their motives is what is really important. And they want to take something from you, or they want to build an alliance with you, not for your better, but for their good, with a hidden agenda, a personal agenda. Listen, newsflash, Christians, because Christians can be the most gullible people in the world. Not everybody has your best interest in mind. Oh, but I love you. Oh, but I've been thinking about you so much. Oh, I'm just wondering about you. Oh, can I meet you? Come on now. I'm not here to make you afraid. I'm not here to make you paranoid. I'm here to give you the truth of the Word of God. Not everybody has your best interest in mind. And there are many who want to use you, folks. Yeah, you. They want to use you for their own agenda, their own self-interest. And I was thinking about this morning, and literally it popped into my head, Acts chapter 16, when that little slave girl with the spirit of divination followed Paul and his ministry team around wherever they went. And wherever Paul and the ministry team went as they were preaching, the little slave girl was right behind them, running and saying, these here are the servants of the Most High God. Listen to what they have to say. They will lead you in the way of salvation. And every day she'd get and follow them around wherever they went. Oh yes, people, hear them. Hear these servants of the mighty, mighty God. They're here to tell you and teach you the way of salvation day after day after day. Sounds good, doesn't it? This was a witch. It was one with the spirit of divination. She had ulterior motives. And she, I believe, for the first time, I never saw this. I saw it this morning. For the first time, I went to read it and I saw what this witch wanted. This witch wanted to join herself to Paul and the team. Make an alliance with them. This witch wanted Paul to say, wow, man, this girl's so spiritual. Man, this girl just follows around, just affirming us. just flattering us, saying the right things, the right time. She's got her word down, man. Maybe we should get to know her a little bit more. Maybe we should open up our circle. Maybe we should take her in. Come on now. Come on now. This witch wanted to join with their company. My God. God wants her eyes to be open in 2020. I believe he wants to give us out of sight insight, so we're not easily deceived and led astray or manipulated by the evil intentions of some who would try to overreach, try to take advantage of us. I believe the Spirit of God wants us to have eyes to see in 2020. Spiritual clarity. Come on now. God's given us a real prophetic word for 2020, but you got to listen. We taught last week that God is bringing exposure in 2020. That's the ability to see behind the scenes. That's the ability to uncover that which is concealed. That's the ability to see beyond the surface, beyond what appears to... Come on now. That's exposure. While Achan was smiling and Achan was saying, who would ever do something like that? God brought it out. He exposed that which was hidden. God saw behind the scenes. He wanted Israel to see behind the scenes what was really happening. It wasn't what it appeared to be. And he exposed it. God is wanting to give us new eyes. Come on now. He's wanting to give us vision. He's wanting us to see beyond the appearance of something. Why? Because God knows that the enemy, according to the story, according to the book, the enemy wants to take advantage of you. The enemy wants to join himself to you. The enemy's going to use manipulation. The enemy's going to use deception. The enemy's going to use all kinds of things. The enemy's going to pull on your compassion. The enemy's going to pull on your mercy. Come on now. The enemy's going to try to be real spiritual. Come on now, because the enemy wants to either steal something from you, or even more dangerously, he wants to join himself to you. Come on now. Say, Lord, help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, God. Look at this. Look at this in the story. Israel was deceived by the apparent disenfranchised group of people. They appeared to be vulnerable. They appeared to be needy. They appeared to be defenseless. They were play acting. That they were victims. They also resorted to flattery. We heard of the God that you serve. He is the mighty God. We heard what you strong warriors did to the kings on the east side of the Jordan. It was all flattery. They were duped. They allowed their enemy in their camp. They made a treaty with them. It was deception. They entered into a covenant with them. Warning, 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 warning. 2020, warning, warning, red lights. Choose your alliances wisely. Watch out for people who play the victim. Watch out for people who try to emotionally manipulate you. Why? So they could join themselves to you for their own personal agenda. There are some who will appear to be for you, but they just want something from you. Listen, keep the Gibeonites out of your life. Keep the Gibeonites out of your camp. Get those Gibeonites as far away from you as you can. Come on now. Listen, it's in the book. Israel was deceived. Listen, by the appearance of something, by what they saw with their natural eyes, they were deceived. By what they heard with their natural ears, they were deceived. You know, before I got into this message early in the week last week, I started reading in the book of Titus, in the New Testament, Paul writing his letter to Titus. And to my surprise, Paul was warning Titus of the deception of some who were confusing them. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to read it to you. This was before my message. This is what I read. And it just so happens, I'm just going to throw this out here, but you'll see it when I read it. It just so happens that Paul was warning them of the deception of some that claim to be believers. Not just the enemy playing with their minds without an agent, but using an agent, but deeper than that, using an agent who appears to be a believer. Look at it, Titus chapter 1. For there are a lot of rebels out there, full of loose, confusing, and deceiving talk. Those who were brought up religious and ought to know better are the worst. This is in the Message translation. They've got to be shut up. They're disrupting entire families with their teaching. Now, what do I see right off the bat? I see the enemy is in the camp. Deception is in the families. Deception is at work. Deception has creeped among them. Well, you think I'm making this stuff up? Here, New Testament. For you don't need a New Testament scripture, here it is. This is the story. Look, they need to be shut up. They're disrupting entire families with their teaching. And all for the sake of a fast buck. One of their own prophets said it best. The Cretans, because they were in Crete. The Cretans are liars from the womb, barking dogs, lazy bellies. He certainly spoke the truth, Paul said. Get on them right away. Stop that disease talk of Jewish make-believe and made-up rules so they can recover a robust faith. They leave their dirty fingerprints on every thought and act. They say they know God, but their actions speak louder than their words. They're real creeps, disobedient, good-for-nothings. They were seducing and manipulating with their doctrine and their teaching and their words that were laced with poison. They appeared to offer something of value to them. They appeared to be helpful to them. They appeared to be for them. Come on now. But it was full of deceitful talk because they were in fact trying to get something from them. And Paul said, a fast buck. Back to the story of Joshua, Joshua 9:14. We're going to end with this. They came to Joshua. They said, we're victims. We're disenfranchised. Look at our bread. When we left our houses, they were hot and fresh. But through the long journey, look, they're moldy. Look at, here, look. Look at the mold on them. Look how old they are. Crusty and hard and moldy. Look, look, look. And it says here, the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. And this is how deception looks like. It looks okay. Yeah, look, it looks like it's moldy. Sounds all right. Sounds like it's all putting together. I mean, from what I see and what I hear, everything sounds good. Everything sounds right. I can't tell you how many times I was deceived by what I saw and by what I heard. I could be gullible sometimes, unfortunately. They said the right things. It looks like the right things. And here, I want you to see this. I want you to see, they were deceived because it says they examined their food, but they didn't consult with the Lord. They were more swayed by what their natural eyes saw. Come on now. They were more swayed by what their natural ears heard. But they did not consult the Lord. There was no spiritual discernment because they were leaning on the natural. They were leaning on what they were told. They were leaning on what was said to them. They were leaning on what they saw with their natural eyes. Come on now. 2020. It's got to be a different year in 2020. God wants us to consult Him no matter what it looks like, no matter the deal it looks like, no matter the promises that are made, no matter what it looks like in the natural, no matter what it here sounds like in the natural. God is wanting us to pause. He is wanting us to consult. And there is a problem. They made covenant with the enemy because they did not consult with the Lord their God. Come on now. When you read it, it seems like for a second Joshua felt like there was something wrong. Where'd you say you were from again? Where did you say you live again? Come on, there was that side to Joshua. He thought there was something wrong. Maybe this wasn't adding up. But after they talked again, he said, okay. See, there was something wrong. 2020, God's going to start speaking to our gut. Come on, we're going to get more spiritual in 2020. Come on, maybe God wants you to go with your gut. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. I don't care what it sounds like with the natural ear. I don't care about the promises that are made. You got to know. Maybe this is a warning for you. There are enemies out there. They want to join themselves with you in 2020. Why? Because they want to stop you. You are a threat to the kingdom of God. You are a threat to the enemy. You are a threat. You are a threat from the kingdom of God. You are a threat to your enemy. The enemy wants to stop you, and the only way he can is to join himself to you. No, 2020, it's a year that God opens up our spiritual eyes to see. It's a year that we ask God for the discerning of spirits. God wants us to see. He gives us gifts. He wants us to be spiritual. He wants our eyes to be open. He wants our spiritual ears to be open. He wants us to begin to see beyond the appearance of things to the real reality of the way things are. I want you to stand to your feet. And just for one moment, just lift up your hands to heaven, just for a moment. Holy Spirit, before we even get into 2020, we take this word for what it's worth. Maybe there's a warning. Maybe you're speaking to us to be watchful, to keep our spiritual eyes open, to find our posture in the secret place, to inquire of the Lord, to not lean on our own understanding, but to seek you and to seek your ways, oh God. To seek the specifics that you have for our life. And Lord, that we would not be caught unawares when the enemy tries to join himself to us through somebody that has wrong intentions and wrong motives. Somebody who is an agent of the enemy. Lord, we want to succeed. We want to conquer. We want this to be the greatest year we've ever had in our life. Lord, we anticipate something amazing and miraculous and wondrous that's about to happen. And we know, God, we know that we are a threat right now to the kingdoms of darkness. And the enemy is going to plot plans and assignments and strategies to abort our assignments, to abort our mission, to stop us, to hinder us, to get us off track. Give us eyes to see. Holy Spirit of the living God, give us eyes to see. Holy Spirit of the living God, bring the exposure. Uncover that which is hidden. Holy Spirit of the living God, let your light shine. God, let your light shine. We honor you, Lord. We bless you. Lord, we bow our hearts and receive your word with a heart of meekness today. Let your word find a lodging place in our soul, and we would not be caught off guard. And we love you and honor you for giving us instruction and showing us where your people went wrong. And you do it mercifully because you want us to do right and you want us to succeed. We love you and bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God bless you. You are blessed. You can leave. And the cafe is open. And Friday night at 6:30 here in the sanctuary, we have church-wide corporate prayer. We will see you then. Be blessed.
So with the sinner's restless heart.